Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Al-Qaeda wants us out of business. You wonder why they put their women in burqas. You wonder why they hate America and the West. You wonder why America's dying. Now play a little more of it. Here, play more of the hammies. Play more of the hammies, the strippers, the transvestite punks, post-op transvestite women, blown-up lips. And you wonder why the Muslim world is in uproar. By the way, speaking of the Muslim world, there's martial law in Egypt, but the twin hysterics from Fox and CNN, that would be, I forget their names, the twin hysterics, the boys with the tight jeans from CNN and Fox, are back clubbing in L.A. to cover the Grammys. You do know that, don't you? Where did all the coverage go on Egypt? Oh, last week it was about democracy, as long as Mubarak's gone and Papa Obama's happy. Now that Papa Obama is happy, the twin hysterics ran back home to L.A. to cover the Grammys, but there's actual martial law in Egypt right now. The military has cracked down. They're forcing the people out of the square, and they're telling them to get out or else. Of course, you don't see that because the hysterics are back in L.A. doing the important business of the Grammys. Of course, the military rulers today called a bank holiday because of disruptions in the banking center. There are riots all over the country. There's martial law all over the country. And, of course, there's no coverage of Egypt because the Grammys are being covered. That's what we have today. And, of course, I turned on Fox News hoping to God somebody on Fox News would show the tanks, the martial law in Egypt. But instead, here's what I heard on Fox News today. I'm not making this up. Listen.
Isabella, it's great to see you. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
You never noticed them ever changing the water in the sex tub?
Well, you know, the Playboy Mansion is home to the world-famous grotto where a lot of scandalous things have gone on.
Like what? Sex?
But oftentimes we'd find people there naked, just random guests and people who come through to the parties or events.
Sex in the hot tub? Sex?
Just get in the hot tub, get in the grotto, butt naked.
Sex in the hot tub?
And I've never, yes.
Yes, okay.
And I've never seen them change the water. I think I've seen it a couple times at parties.
Sex,
yeah,
right.
Making out.
Sex? But you had something to say about the way they serve people sex at some of these events.
Mm-hmm. So there it is. Mubarak is out, and one of the hysterics, this one from Fox News, Shep Smith, is not covering Egypt anymore now that there's martial law and Boss Obama. There used to be Boss Tweed. Now there's Boss Obama. Boss Tweed spoke to other folks at Fox and said no more coverage of Egypt. Now that the revolution on the Nile is over and financial markets were shaken, oil supplies were shaken. And, of course, there are riots going on in Tehran, but Boss Obama has nothing to say about the little baby democracy movement in Iran because Boss Obama is not interested in the democracy movement in Iran. He was only interested in what happens in Egypt because the people who put him in power obviously bet on the Egyptian pound and against Egyptian oil and God knows what else. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised in Iran. Apparently, the cell phones don't work in Iran. And even if they did work, I can guarantee you that the twin hysterics, the silver-haired lunatic on CNN, the dungaree boy, and his twin on Fox will be clubbing in L.A. to cover the Grammy. So let's let the good times roll and the band played on. Let's hear Lady Gaga on the Savage Nation. Let's just have a good time. So the week began in Egypt with an old soldier running Egypt. It ended with different old soldiers running Egypt. And the twin hysterics are not covering it at all. But there it is. The first Google revolution on Earth. The first revolution caused by a group of bloggers. And, of course, orchestrated by Obama, Boss Tweet, and Gonum. Gonum. It's funny how Gonum is like Golem, but I won't go into that detail. Gonum and Golem Productions. Gonum and Golem Productions. You know, last night I was bored. I had dental surgery Friday, which is why I wasn't on the air, whatever. I don't want to go into it. I'm not going to, you know, give you the whole thing here. But so I was in bed yesterday. It was raining anyway. Thank God. Oh, I'm so glad it rained. I love rain. I can't stand the sun. When the sun is out, you're tortured into thinking you have to go out and, you know, like do something. You have to entertain yourself. God forbid I had a bicycle ride. It was horrible. It's like the Gobi Desert when the sun comes out. When it rains, at least you could stay inside and you know, even do nothing. You have an excuse to do nothing. I would love bad weather. So instead of doing anything at all, I pigged out. I just watched on AMC Godfather. It was like Godfather Day over and over again. I'm smart. I can handle things. I'm your older brother. It was wonderful to watch all of my old favorite characters. But I'm flipping back and forth between, you can't believe this because they have ads on AMC, so I can't watch the. So I'm flipping between the ads between The Godfather and The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, which I swear to God I never watched before. But it was one channel up, and it was easy to flip back and forth. So I'm jumping between women who look like total vultures, post-op transvestites, sitting in skirts cut up to their necks with blown-up lips, boob jobs, face jobs, lip jobs, eye jobs. They were disgusting. I've never seen uglier women in my entire life. I don't know how any man could ever sleep with them. I don't know what kind of creature it would take to go to bed with those women. They were frightening. It's as though I was watching a nightmare play, a Halloween play. So I'm flipping between The Godfather and that in military history. Now, that's quite a mixture, I got to admit. Between the fall of, I don't know what it was yesterday, the people starving from the German invasion of Russia, the starvation, the killing of millions of people. From that, I'm jumping to The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. I've never seen, well, it is the definition of what, narcissism to the nth degree. And you watch it long enough, you start to say to yourself, is there a peaceful Al-Qaeda cell somewhere in the world that doesn't cause violence? Because something's wrong with this country. This country is so sick. It is so sick at the core that the degenerates in Hollywood would even produce shows like that, that you have to ask yourself, why should a country like America survive? You have morons at the top of the intelligence community who don't even know what's going on. You have Leon Panetta at the top of the CIA who didn't know when Egypt was going to fall. He got it wrong by a day. And he said, you see, I was right. I was off by a day, but I got it right. I said he'd be gone by today. It wasn't today. It was yesterday. Even though it was yesterday, it was tomorrow. But I got it almost right. It's like saying that there's going to be an atomic bomb set off, God forbid, somewhere in New York, but he got it wrong by 24 hours. And give him another $25 billion. So that's the world today. It's a pastiche of lunacy. John McCain is out there on human rights and the democracy in Egypt. Not one word from John McShame, who should be running an Audi, a Buick dealership in Tibet, as far as I'm concerned. He and Cindy belong in Tibet running a. They'd make more money, you know, more honestly. They wouldn't be lying to anyone because the Buick's a good car. And I think there should be a Buick in every Tibetan's garage, frankly. At least to be providing a service to the Tibetan people. He could open up the Richard Gere Buick dealership in Tibet. Think about that one. Egypt, where did the coverage go? Now that Shepard Smith and Anderson Cooper, the twin hysterics of the media, have moved off the story, what is actually going on in Egypt? Well, the military kicked the rioters out of Tahrir Square, and there's nothing about it on the cable networks, nothing at all. Now that ACDC 360 has taken a first-class flight back to L.A. to cover the Grammys, the government media complex has completely obliterated the Twitterers and dungarees. There's martial law in Egypt, but the media has moved on. There's an attempt at a democracy movement in Iran to throw out the real Hitler of our time, but the vermin in the media won't even cover it. Okay? Let me ask you, my friends, how much longer can the center hold in this country? How much can it hold when you have the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, the Real Housewives of Washington, D.C., the Real Housewives of Atlanta, Georgia, the Real Housewives of New York City? These women are about as real as, let us say, a post-op transvestite is a woman. New York City, WOR, Maher, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Good evening, Dr. Savage. I have an update for a few points. I will lay it out for you about the past few days' events in Egypt and what is taking place. First, the military declared the stop working with the old constitution and...
I know, I just said that. They've declared martial law. They're ripping up the constitution. They have total power. In fact, they have more power than Mubarak has. I said that already.
In addition to that, they declared that they're going to be in power only for 6 months. Which
Right. It's sure a very short dictatorship.
Only the time needed to move on from...
Oh, yeah, just in time to get a new pair of dungarees for every Twitterer. Just in time to get a new IT server for every Twitterer in Tahrir Square. You don't really believe they're only going to be in power for 6 months, do you?
I believe it because the people that made that commitment is one of the most honorable people.
Wait, what people? What people? What? Who made that commitment?
The commitment is the Minister of Defense. He's the only person there.
So how come the U.S. media is not covering the martial law in Egypt? Why did they stop covering it the minute they brought down Mubarak? Why is that?
They stopped the use of martial law once they stopped working with the Constitution. That law also has fallen with the Constitution.
You know, you're not answering me, though. I'm asking you why you think the U.S. media has left Egypt and is no longer covering what is going on there now that they got rid of Mubarak. There is martial law. Why are they not covering it?
Because all of a sudden they found out that they don't know anything about what is happening there.
Okay, and how come the U.S. media is not covering the attempts at a democracy movement in Iran? Why is it that the U.S. media has such a soft spot for Ahmadinejad, the Hitler of our time? Why is that?
Because this power complex, as always, has its own agenda. It does not always...
I believe that the agenda is financial, and I believe that the people who brought down Mubarak did it for financial reasons, and I believe that they either bet on the Egyptian pound or bet on some other commodities that Egypt controls or bet on the some other aspect of the Egyptian economy and destroyed an entire nation in order to make a profit. Only we don't know about it, and I believe that the government media complex knows who that is, and I believe if we could see the balance books of certain hedge funds in New York City and London, we'd find out who was behind the downfall of Mubarak. I'll be right back. I'm trying to satisfy her. Could you imagine that? Could you imagine being that woman's lover? Is there a man on earth who would even try? Listen to this energy. I mean, really, God in heaven. No wonder the mullahs are in uproar around the world. So there's martial law in Egypt. Fox and CNN have gone silent. They've taken the cameras home. The twin hysterics and tight jeans have gone back clubbing in L.A. to cover the Grammys. And yet it's actually worse for the average Egyptian today than it was 3-4 weeks ago before the media and Google brought down Mubarak. Yeah, that's right, but you don't know anything about it. The Egyptian regime is still there. The Egyptian regime is exactly what it was before. Exactly. Still old generals, thank God, by the way. Better the old generals than the young Turks. We know what the young Turks did to the Christians. At least the old generals will protect the Christians in Egypt. The young Turks, as you well know, slaughtered the Christians in Turkey. Well, that was a long time ago. I wouldn't expect you to know much about that. So there it is. So Ghanem, said the army wanted young Egyptians to set up new political parties for the elections. Well, anyway, I'm not interested in Egypt anymore. After all, you had your fun with Egypt. You saw the riots. You saw them singing, "We Shall Overcome." You saw them linking arm to arm. You saw them in solidarity with the media. You saw the media was in solidarity with the young Egyptians. What fun they had. I mean, it was their 60s moment. It was their 60s moment. They were finally living through the 60s. They finally had their march on Selma, Alabama, but it was a march on Cairo. Of course, they didn't realize what would happen. They had no way to figure out that it would actually wreck the infrastructure of an entire nation, destroy our relations with most nations in the Middle East, bring about radical Islam. No, it didn't matter. The main thing was is they had a good TV moment. So that's why I said last night I had enough of it. I was saturated by it. So flipping around between The Godfather and The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Me, God. You can see why Kelsey Grammer left her. Okay, let's start with that. You want to get gossipy. But what do you think he ran to? You think it's going to be any different? I don't really know. How could a 60-year-old man marry a 20-year-old woman, expect that to work out? How does that work out? Has that ever worked out in anyone's life that you know of? 60-year-old man leaves a wife, gives up half his fortune. How long will that sex be good for? 90 days? 120 days? When does that end? When does it become just another nightmare? The one he left behind. How long can that go on? What's wrong with men? What do they think is going to be waiting for them? Don't they know anything? Did they not attract any wisdom by the age of 60? 60-year-old man marries a 24-year-old woman and has a baby with her. How long does that last? How long is it until in the middle of the night he comes to her bed and he steps on a rattle and it cracks and it cuts his foot? How long before he steps on a wet diaper and it's like no amount of chemicals on earth is going to help him? How long? How long? What's wrong with these people? And what do they live? Is this what Western civilization was for? All the wars for liberation? All the wars to free us from the tyrants of the world so that women can inject their lips with chemicals? Get false boobs and ride around in disgusting limousines with bad champagne going to stupid openings? These women wouldn't miss the opening of a closet. They always want to be seen somewhere. And gaudy jewelry. I never saw anything like this. Who watches this? I swear to you, you got to believe me, I never saw the show before, and I watched it last night. I was almost stunned by the... I was interested in it because I didn't believe women would do this. What woman would expose herself like this who was so ugly and so incredibly vulturous? What woman on earth would want the world to watch them every minute? How did this start? How does a nation live with reality shows? If someone offered me $100 million a year to put a camera in my house, I would say drop dead.
Savage.
Wow, man. Enough to make you take the cloth. You look at these women. It's like a new generation of like monster women. Ooh, like insect women. Imagine trying to satisfy a woman like Lady Gaga. It'd be like... Imagine that if you were like her lover. It'd be like trying to climb Mount Everest in flip-flops. Could you imagine that trying to satisfy Lady Gaga would be like trying to climb Mount Everest in flip-flops? It would be like diving to 1,000 feet below, you know, the ocean level without oxygen tanks. How could you do that? How could you even be Lady Gaga as a human being? How could you stand being yourself? You're so fabulous. You're so important. You're so sexy. You're so talented. You're so famous. You're so creative. How do you get up in the morning? How do you stand getting up in the morning? How do you stand eating an egg in the morning? How do you stand having to brush your teeth? How do you take having to go to the bathroom? How do you stand living? It's impossible. Now try to be her boyfriend. Forget husband, okay, she's not marriage material, but try to be her boyfriend. Figure that one out. How do these women expect a man to even come near them? What's the difference? Who listens to these shows? Does anyone listening to my show ever watch a Real Housewives show on a regular basis? I swear, I never saw women like this. When I'm in L.A. and I go to Beverly Hills, if I go to Rodeo Drive to look at the stores, which I enjoy doing because I like seeing all of the Japanese and Italians with cameras taking pictures in front of stores where they don't shop. I don't know how the stores survive. No one ever shops in them. And they have a very good deli around the corner, by the way, who has very good gefilte fish. Nate Nals has the very good... The reason I go there is they have very good gefilte fish and stuffed cabbage, which is very funny. Like, why would you go to Rodeo Drive for stuffed cabbage? Because the food's very good. But you see the women, you know, they come out shopping like, what? What man would want to be with a woman like that? Aren't any real women in the world? I mean, these are not real women of Beverly Hills. These are the freak women of Beverly Hills. These are the freak women of Atlanta. When did reality shows start? Probably Ringling Brothers. I told you as a youth I was a fan of the so-called freak show at the circus. In other words, you go to the circus, the normal kids like, and in the middle ring we have, you know, in the side ring. I don't know. I was with the horse and this and the lion. It was okay, but it was predictable. I could not wait to drag my father or mother into the freak show because I really was amazed at what was back there. But I guess, you know, there's no such thing anymore. A, the freaks are on Obamacare. They don't even need, they don't have to work for a living. They sit at home and collect a government check. So I guess what we have left are women with facial implants. You see those lips? Does anyone listening to this show find a lip like that sexually attractive? Does anyone looking, let's forget the other part of the anatomy. Let's just deal with the face. This is what the burqa was invented for. The burqa was invented for women like the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. They should all be in burqas with only slits for their eyes. Nightmarish. You know, get back to me in 15. I'd like to see what their children turn out to be. Get back to me when their children are 15 and 16. Get back to me. Let me see what the children are like. What drugs are the children on with a mother like that? You know what I mean? I'll take a fat housewife who stays home and makes dinner for the children. Okay, look, I'm just ranting about this. I can't believe it exists because it's like I stumbled into a new world. I had no idea it existed. I was bored. I was getting over dental surgery, so I was flipping around between The Godfather, where I heard Fredo again. Play Fredo again. I just want to hear it one more time before taking a call. I can't resist.
Send Fredo off to do that. Let Fredo take care of some Mickey Mouse nightclub somewhere. I can handle things. I'm smart. Not like everybody says. Like, dumb. I'm smart, and I want respect.
Oh, no matter how many times I see that movie, I love the scene where the Cuban Superman appears. And, like, the prudish mafioso Michael is disgusted by the sex act. We're supposed to believe all of them are, like, loyal to their wives, and they only wanted to deal in drugs and kill people. But when they went home, they were good Catholics who were good to their wives and children. And they were disgusted by such things, even though they owned the club, you know, themselves. So Michael shows disgust. And Fredo, being who he is, gets, you know, all nervous. And he says, and the senator who got caught in the House of Ill Repute in Vegas, remember, says, "Hey, Freddie, how did you find a place like this?" "Oh, I don't know it. Old Mo wouldn't come to a place like this. But old Joe, whatever his name is, took me to a place like this." And then you see Freddie. Then you see Michael's face. He knows his brother betrayed him. And the best scene in that particular movie, many great scenes. Coppola was a genius scenarist. I mean, he blew it. He became too rich too fast and started producing Dreck. He didn't have to work anymore. But the staging of the revolution in Cuba was amazing. That New Year's Eve, when the military marches in and the president, Batista, announces that the rebels have won and he's no longer supportable. And salute, 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 and goodbye. And he flies off the island and all hell breaks loose. You know, we can't blame Soros for that one. Little did they know that the Marxist revolutionary Fidel Castro would be far worse than Batista. Little did they know that the communist bastards who took over the island would be far more murderous, more criminal, with less of everything for everybody on Cuba. Little did they know that the criminals did a better job than the criminal Cuban, than the criminal Marxists did. Little do you people know what Marxists are, which are all gangsters. They're all criminal gangsters. There is no difference between a criminal government and a Marxist government. It's one and the same thing. In fact, I read the biography years ago of Meyer Lansky, and in his later years, he said he spent his whole life killing people and robbing from them to put together his life's fortune, which he invested in a hotel in Cuba, the Nacional, I believe. And he said then a bigger criminal than him came along with an army and stole it from him, called Fidel Castro. I mean, you want to talk about truth? You know what I'm saying? I don't want to talk about Egypt right now. I mean, if I got an Egypt call, okay. We know already. I made my point. The liar vermin in the media caused the revolution, and they're nowhere to be seen when it's going on in Iran. Those rats, I hate them. Play Hyman Roth. Go ahead, Hyman Roth.
I'm a retired investor on a pension. I went to Israel because I wished to live there as a Jew. The twilight of my life.
The Hyman Roth character, as played by... Who played Hyman Roth in The Godfather? Lee Strasberg, the great filmer, the great acting coach. Lee Strasberg. Remember when they pull up that little house in Florida, little 3-2, and the wife is in the crinoline serving him a tuna fish sandwich? It was so ridiculously absurd that it was almost believable. It was so unbelievable. No security. The front door's unlocked. He's watching a ball game. You know, amazingly beautiful with the leg up on the chair.
His favorite line, I love their favorite line, is when he has the heart condition in Cuba, and they say, we're sending for a doctor. He shakes his hand. No, I don't trust the doctor who can't speak English.
Since you have to take it easy, and he's going to give you a prescription, he'll be back tomorrow.
I want my own doctor. Fly him in from Miami.
Of course, he wants English. A Jewish doctor from Miami. No, he wants a Cuban doctor, went to the University of Havana. He wants an Obamacare doctor. Sure, bring him right in. It's just he wants an Obamacare doctor. Even Fidel Castro sent out of the country for a doctor when he got sick. He sent for a doctor from Spain who was probably a Jewish doctor from New York who had to fly in from Spain with a mustache. I mean, stupid they're not. The gangs, look, the criminal communists are not stupid. You know, you may hate Saul Alinsky, but stupid he wasn't. Rules for Radicals, the book that Obama said was the best education I ever had, better than anything I got at Harvard. I mean, you got to understand that the ideological father of Barack Obama, the community organizer par, no one could top Saul Alinsky. Obama said it was the best education I ever had, better than anything I ever got at Harvard. The Rules for Radicals. Oh, yeah, you don't know anything about that. The communist street agitator. They finally have their president. It's like, again, like The Godfather. There was a lot of truth in The Godfather when they said, we finally have what we've always wanted. We have business with a friendly government, meaning Batista in Cuba, the gang, right? He said, we're only a few steps away from raising enough money to putting a president in the White House. Hello? How about speeding the clock forward to 2011? The community organizers finally put a president into the White House. Okay? What else do you want to know? Many of the tactics and principles that Saul Alinsky laid out are being acted out every day on a daily basis by the Axelrod, Emmanuel, Obama media complex. Community organizer is now president. That's why we are bankrupt. That's why the world is in turmoil. That is why the Middle East is going up in flames. That is why there's so much corruption and criminality wherever you turn. And that is why there are so many idiotic people at every level of the government. See, is it any wonder I'm talking about Real Housewives of Beverly Hills? Of course not. But I'll go into this at another time, the Saul Alinsky deal. 1-800, why am I giving out the phone number for? There's no, you can't get on the show. When I get into one of these moods on a show like this, you can't get on the air, that's all. I ask a few important questions, like how long would a marriage last? No, play Lady Gaga for 1 minute, just to get the energy, the yoni energy going. The yin energy. Now picture her after a performance. Try to entertain her. Try to take her out for a drink. Try to sit in a nightclub with her. See if you can keep her occupied. Try me after a show. You couldn't keep me occupied. There's not a woman on earth who could satisfy my mind after a show, let alone Lady Gaga's needs, okay? I mean, I'm a radio performer. I can't imagine what it'd be like to be with her. How does this woman come off that high? That's what I want to know. What does she use, man? Don't tell me it's chamomile tea. Washington, D.C., Sylvia, you're on the Savage Nation.
Michael, you say that you'll never get hooked on The Real Housewives and their spinoffs, but I'm telling you right now, you will get hooked to all of them. I did. I thought I never would a year ago. Now I'm hooked to every single one
what
of
is
those
it?
Shows.
What is addictive about The Real Housewives shows?
Because it's, first of all, it's mindless TV with people that are so superficial and stupid that it makes my own life, and I'm a real suburban housewife here in Maryland.
So in other words, it makes you feel superior to them? That they're so vacuous they don't even know that they look that stupid?
Well, exactly. And not only that, it's just a car wreck that you never thought. One of the women in Beverly Hills.
But how could these women, the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, how could they think that anyone thinks their lives are worth living?
Well, one of those women spent $60,000 on her daughter's fourth birthday party. $60,000. I mean, that's what my husband makes in a year.
Right. And you find that interesting to look at?
I just find that so superficial. And there's nothing else on TV. I just look at that and I say to myself that my life is actually pretty good if these women...
All right. So you actually feel your life is better because you watch these vacuous, ugly women.
Like I said, it's just a car wreck that you just can't...
Are you sure it's not because you're jealous? Aren't you vicariously wishing you could live like that?
Watch The Real Housewives of New Jersey, and let me tell you, there's nothing to get jealous about those women. I mean, they look like Mack trucks.
Well, that's like watching The Sopranos, The Real Housewives of New Jersey. You know, that was almost like a beginning of The Real Housewives of New Jersey, The Sopranos, those double knit outfits. All right, whatever. I don't know. I don't know if I'll ever watch it again. If I start watching it again, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to have to go into addiction therapy. But getting back to Lady Gaga, could anyone listening to the show, could you actually think you could be her boyfriend? Could anyone please this woman? How does she get off that stage and calm down? She's not using passion flower herbal tea. She's not meditating on a mat. I mean, what is she doing to calm down? I only do radio. It takes me 3 hours to get off an adrenaline high. And that's without even getting excited. How does someone get up there with that kind of voltage and come off the stage? What do they do with themselves? I don't understand it. I can't understand it. I mean, inside maybe inside me, there's a performer. You understand that talk radio at the end of the day is a performance art. Do you understand that? No matter how political I may get, at the end of the day, talk radio is a performance art. I am a performance artist, one way or the other. I have no lights, no action, no camera. It's all my mind and my ability to express ideas, and you're listening to it. Why? What are you listening to this show for? What are you listening for? You want to see me fall off the stage? I mean, you think about it. Is this a reality show to you? Are you waiting to hear me say something that might embarrass me and cause my career to go up in smoke? It ain't going to happen, buddy. People have been waiting for 16 years. It's never happened and never will happen. So I want to know how long a 60-year-old could be married to a 25-year-old. Deborah in Tennessee, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Dr. Savage. I wanted to share my marriage with you. When my husband and I were married, I was 26 and he was 61.
Wow.
He just passed away on December the 5th and he was 89 and I'm 54.
How was it when you were 25 and he was 61? What was it? You wanted a father figure? I'm not trying to be, you know, facetious. Did you like the feeling of being protected by a fatherly figure?
Not at all. He was the most intelligent, manly man I had ever met. I had been married before.
So he swept you off your feet because he was such a great guy?
Yes, he did.
And how did you meet him?
Well, I did craft shows.
I'm sorry, did you say craft shows?
Yes, yes.
What, like macrame or?
Well, no, actually I did dough art, you know, with the salt,
dough art?
Flour and water.
This is a family show. We have to be careful here.
Dough.
You played with his dough?
No, sir. ornaments. where you mix flour and
did you? No, okay, come on, I'm just kidding. But did you have children with him?
We tried. And apparently...
He was already incapable of it?
No,
I don't want to get into details, but at that time, there was no Viagra at that time.
No.
At that period. This was pre-Viagra, PV. This was a different world. So how did that work for you?
That was not the problem at all. We never had any problem in that regard.
So he was always... Oh, that's interesting.
Were
you attracted to him because of his sexual prowess and his brains, either or both?
Both.
So what are you going to do now that he's dead and you're 54? What are you going to do, look for a nice 80-year-old?
Not at all. I don't ever want to be married to anyone again because there's not...
All right, so that was your perfect love. I understand. That's a very beautiful story, I suppose. I'll be right back.
Savage.
To myself, Real Housewives of L.A., Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, those lips, those faces, vultures, and then you got Lady Gaga. I'm trying to imagine what she does to relax after a performance, and what it would be like to be her boyfriend. Trying to satisfy her again, it's no joke. Would be like trying to satisfy Lady Gaga would be like climbing Mount Everest in flip-flops, or like sailing around the world in an inner tube. Or like Charlie Sheen trying to watch Lassie while making love. I mean, something along those lines. You know, fill it in. I understand cross-dressing is becoming the norm now in Fashion Week. The women are dressing up like men. All they need is the penciled mustache index. Cut the hair off, you know, go all the way. Sean Penn at LAX getting the pat down. How come they don't use private jets if they have all this money and fame? I don't get it. Why do they even bother going on Southwest? Where's he going? I don't understand it. They make all this money and they don't use private jets? Then you don't get a pat down. Just get on a private jet like a talk show. You know, why don't I create a thing? You know, it's like there's the Grammys for records, right? And of course, the Golden Globes for TV shows, the Academy Awards for movies. Why don't we have the talkies? Except none of us get along with each other. That's the problem. I mean, there's the talkers convention, but there should be the talkies where we'd have to perform for the nation. That would be an interesting one if I put together the talkies. Imagine if I did the talkies where you'd have to get up and do something rather than just talk about how bad Obama is and say Karl Marx every other word and get out a blackboard. How did this start with reality shows? When did it begin? I was trying to figure that out. I was going back to something like Viagra was introduced to the mainstream in the year about 1998. So the year 1980 would be 18 BV before Viagra. Like 100 years from now, we could like have a new calendar. So the year 2011 would be, we're in the year 13 AV after Viagra. It changed the entire world. We are now in the year 13 AV instead of the year 2011. I want to go on to the new Viagra calendar. There's a lunar calendar. There's a solar calendar. Why not a Viagra calendar? We are now in the year 13 AV after Viagra.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Shines in Beverly Hills, but not on everyone.
Everything might look perfect, but it's not. It's a land of make-believe.
This town runs on status. Status can come from money, connections, fame, or even looks. You could be the toast of the town one day and a nobody the next. It can all go away in an instant. But if you can play the game, there's nowhere better to live.
So here we are in the year 13 AV, 13 after Viagra. And we have the astonishing reality of an imposter in the White House who has wrecked the world, destroyed the economy, burnt the Middle East to the ground, says nothing about the desire for freedom in Iran, while, of course, forcing Mubarak out. And I last night watched Real Housewives of Beverly Hills for the first time, flipping between channels while waiting for my favorite military history program to go on later on in the day. I just couldn't believe it. It got so bad I had to run out of the house and go to Latin music. In Sausalito, California, there's a great place with live music. I had to go to something real. There's some Cuban musicians playing. And since it was early enough in the day, usually these dances don't start till 10 and I don't go. I mean, I grew up on Latin music in New York. I love it, but it's too late for me. I don't know how people go to these dances 10 o'clock at night and go to work the next day. Of course, looking at the work ethic in America, I do know how. But nevertheless, I went and it was great to see people who could actually play instruments, you know. But I'm asking a question. A couple of questions today. Where is the coverage of the dictatorship that has emerged in Egypt? Answer, nowhere. Now that the vermin in the media, especially the twin hysterics, Shepard Smith and Anderson Cooper, have moved off the story. There's no coverage whatsoever. The cameras have gone home. They all flew back to be in time for the Grammys. In fact, they had to time the revolution. The reason Mubarak left last Friday was that the Grammys were Sunday night and that the networks had to get the so-called stars back to L.A. on time for the Grammys. And so the army was brought in time to make certain that they could be back in time for the Grammys. But there's no coverage. Absolutely no coverage. Martial law has been imposed, and you don't know anything about it. Instead, we moved on to Lady Gaga. Play Lady Gaga because the music's amazingly powerful. You know, it's just so powerful. I wonder so many guys are running away from women. I mean, take a look at women like Real Women of Beverly Hills or whatever. It could scare anybody into living with another man. If women were like that through the ages, there'd be no children. If the women who were on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills had been around like for 2,000 years, the human race would have ended. All the men would have slept with each other to avoid them. So how do you get up in the morning with a woman like that in that house? How? When the woman is so vacuous and not only vacuous, but actually thinks that she's dramatic and interesting. There's so much here that I may have to write an entire book on deconstructing the Real Housewives series and how it symbolizes the death of the West, truthfully, and why the burqa is becoming the outfit of choice in England. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. I have a lot of questions. The number one question is, I'm serious, guys. I'm not trying to be salacious, and I wouldn't do it. It's a family show. Lady Gaga gets off the stage after that performance. What do you do to make her happy? Where does she go? What does she meditate? She takes, like, Zen lessons? She goes with her grandmother, what's her name? That other 60-year-old one who used to do this? What's her name? Madonna, the one who found fake religion, the Kabbalah. She found the Kabbalah like my dog found the Kabbalah. They don't know what the Kabbalah is. She made a buck on the Kabbalah, the idiots. That was pre-Housewives of Beverly Hills, the Kabbalah racket. Why? How do you get that adrenaline out? Do you think she jogs? She jogs around the Hollywood sign? Is anyone listening to the show know what I'm talking about? I'm actually trying to analyze the death of the West from a real perspective in real time about a real television show and a real TV thing. I'm trying to figure out if you understand that I'm telling you the dead honest truth, that the reason the Egyptian Revolution had to run in 3 weeks exactly and had to end on Friday was so that Shepard Smith and Anderson Cooper could get out to L.A. in time for the Grammys. Mubarak was given exactly until midnight on Friday to get out so that they could still catch a plane back to L.A. in time for the Grammys. It was all timed for entertainment. Anyway, that's one man's opinion. But I want to create a new calendar, the Viagra calendar. When, like the Jewish people have a lunar calendar or a solar calendar. I don't know what it is, a 5793. I never understood that. When I was 10 years old, I'd go and it's like, it's the year 5000. What do you mean 5000? I'm 11 years old. How can it be the year 5000? I was born in 1942. What do you mean? It's 1953. What do you mean it's the year 5000? I didn't understand that. It was so out of touch with everything. What's with this solar calendar, lunar calendar? It makes as much sense to me as a Viagra calendar. If Viagra was introduced in 1998, it means that in the year 1980, we were 18 BV. So you date back to when you were born, and you just go back from 1998, and you know when you were born, BV, before Viagra, would change the world. Where 65-year-old men can marry 20-year-old women and think that they like them. So in the year 2011, we're actually in the year 13 AV after Viagra. Changed everything on the earth. Between that and hair transplants, the world is not the same place. Believe me. WOR, New York. Justin, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the radio.
Dr. Savage, it's a pleasure to talk to you. I definitely don't agree with everything you say, but when you criticize American popular culture, man, you are right on the money, man. It's really sickening to me, you know.
Yeah, I mean, how could you watch The Real Housewives of Anywhere and not understand it's the degradation of womanhood is what it really is. It's actually the degradation of womanhood.
Yeah, yeah. My sister watches it, and she watches Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
Oh, please don't even mention those disgusting hags. Please don't even mention them. When you say Kardashian, I think Nair, lip hair remover from the lip.
I don't know, man.
You say Kardashian, I say Nair. You say Kardashian, I say Souvlaki.
Oh God.
You say Kardashian, I say Jenny Craig.
It's really something.
You talk about ugly, man. How did that ever happen? How did that ever happen? You see, at least these girls on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, at one point, they were basically just good-looking blonde sluts who were in Playboy. Okay, then they got old and they got the silicone and the lips and everything. But at one point, at least they had a sex appeal. Now they're just disgustingly nightmarish. Those two that he mentioned, that begin with a K and end with an N, they never had anything. I don't even understand that one. But then, you know, it's a big world and there's different views of beauty, I suppose. In some, you take a look at like some, you know, some parts of the world, I suppose that's considered beautiful. Where men, okay, let's stop right here. This is a family show. It's not Las Vegas, so I have to cut it off at a certain point. Lance in Sacramento, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yes, Dr. Savage, you asked earlier why anyone would listen to you. Well, it's because of content, substance. You know,
yeah, but I'm not giving you real substance today. I can't do it. I mean, aside from my barb that the Egyptian Revolution had to end on time in order to get Shepard Smith back, in order to get the reporters back in time for the Grammys was funny, but it's almost a degree of truth in it.
Well, it's probably because the band Muslim Brotherhood had to appear at the Grammys, too. What was their album this year, the band Muslim Brotherhood?
Well, you know, I love people are saying, look, you said, well, I'm going to take a call on that in a minute because it's an interesting call, which I'd like to correct someone on. Thus far, I haven't done anything of any educational value today, truthfully.
Well,
it's boring. I mean, I don't want to be boring. Everyone's bored now because it's like February. This is a terrible. February is probably the worst month of the year when you think about it. You got endless months of disgusting slush in the winter. Number one, no holidays to look forward to, nothing. It's horrible. It's grim. Today's Valentine's Day. That's a great holiday. Shows you how threatened those little men with beards are in Malaysia. They want to ban Valentine. They're warning people not to celebrate Valentine's Day in Malaysia. How does that threaten Muslims, Valentine's Day? A simple holiday like that? To take a girl out for a meal and a tiramisu and a glass of wine, that's a threat to them? I don't understand that, truthfully. New York, WORM, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yes, I'm thinking that the reason why the media has stopped talking about Egypt is because Obama couldn't get the Muslim Brotherhood into place fast enough because he seems to be chomping at the bit to do something with them, and God forbid he would make them as maybe some kind of seedling group.
Well, how come Obama has nothing to say about the people who are trying to have democracy in Iran? Where is Hillary Clinton now that we don't need her? Where is Obama now that they need him? Why isn't he saying we're with you people and we're in favor of democracy? How come he hasn't said one word about the Iranian democracy movement that's going on as we speak? While they're being tear gassed, beaten up and arrested in Iran, why do we hear nothing about it from the great Obama and the other minions of Saul Alinsky?
Well, maybe we will as soon as the Muslim Brotherhood is brought up. Maybe he'll get interested.
No, well, the Muslim Brotherhood runs Iran in another form. It's called the mullahs. They're the Muslim Brotherhood on steroids, okay?
Right.
See, but people, see, it's another way to look at this question, which is say, oh, you right-wingers are all wrong. You're warning us that if Mubarak left, the Muslim Brotherhood would step in Egypt. What you don't know, or those people don't know, is history, which is that the Iranian Islamic Revolution did not occur the day after the Shah was driven out of Iran by Jimmy Carter and Walter Cronkite. The Iranian mullahs appeared on the scene thereafter, but not immediately thereafter. And the Iranian Muslim Revolution, the radical Muslim revolution in Iran, occurred 9 months to a year later, which is what's going to happen in Egypt. But the vermin in the media will not be on that story at that time, Mia. Thank you for the call. That's too much already, pushing ahead. Because I'm in the year 2011, which is 13 AV after Viagra. If I'm pushing ahead to 2012, which is the election year, that's going to be 14 AV. We don't know whether Obama's going to be reelected in 14 AV. We have to wait and see. Okay, I'll be right back.
Savage.
I'm
about the Real Housewives of Tehran? That would be a hot one. See how the little men beat them up at night. I'd like to see some cameras in the houses in Tehran. That would be cool. And the Ahmadinejad, the darling of the media. The Real Housewives of Beirut. That would be another one. That would be another hot show. How the women are treated in the world of radical Islam. How about that? The opposite. The Real Housewives of Atlanta, Orange County, Beverly Hills, blah, blah, blah. Real Housewives of Cairo. That would be another one to look at. Although that's a little too liberal a city. You might have an interesting one there. The Real Housewives of Algeria. Tangiers would be nice. They treat women very well over there, too. How about the Real Housewives of somewhere in Sudan? They know how to treat their women. That's really a great place. Who is Lady Gaga? I don't even understand what she is, what the phenomenon is. The energy of the music's great. I mean, it's very powerful. It's just a repeat of Madonna. So much of this generation's Madonna game, which is how things repeat themselves. Remember I told you before that there is archetypes in the movies and certain actors keep repeating themselves through time. So if you went back to the 40s, there was a certain type of male lead and he got replaced through time. And so the John Wayne of now is, okay, or the Clark Gable of now is, but it's the same type that keeps repeating itself. That's what I'm getting at. There's nothing really new under the sun in that regard. Lady Gaga is Madonna. It's the same, you know, act fundamentally. Why am I going on about it? Because it's in the media, that's why. My job on Mondays is entertainment, restaurants, and food. Since I had dental surgery on Friday, I didn't really have anything to talk about with the food. I have to eat on the left side of my mouth. Horrible. You have to train yourself to eat. I had an implant put it on the right side of my mouth. So I can't eat on that side of my mouth for like 6 months now. How do you eat on one side of your head? It's crazy. It's like you got to talk to yourself. Don't move it over there. You know what I mean? It's like you're eating on the left side of your head, and you have to remember with every bite, you're getting too close to the center now, Mike. Move it back. Push your tongue. Use your tongue now. Push it back over to the left side. If any of the food migrates near the right side, I go into like a panic attack. The tooth implant. I've outlived my teeth. That's good. I guess that's the modern thing. My father died. So that's the whole thing. The generations change. Like in the old days, if you died at 30. Well, Alexander the Great died in his 30s. He probably had all his teeth, except maybe he lost some in a battle. All his hair, all his teeth. He didn't need Viagra, he didn't need Propecia, he didn't need a hair implant, he didn't need a dentist, nothing. Died in combat at 31. But now, with modern medicine, we're outliving all of these body parts. So the teeth go, but you're still alive. It's better. I mean, it's better than a heart attack or cancer, to be honest with you, but still in all, it has its own challenges. So as I say, I have to eat on the left side of my mouth for 6 months. It's like a sentence. Every bite, I have to be conscious of it now. What food to eat, what not to eat. I mean, it's unbelievable. And if I find myself talking, don't let it migrate. You're getting close to the center line, Mike. Move it back over. It's unbelievable to me. What a challenge that is. And the right side of my face is like jealous. It's starving. The whole right side of my head is like starving to death now. The left side's getting fat and the right side's getting thin. I don't understand how that works. Come on. I'm just in a joking mood. I'm so tired of the news. I'm so sick of the people in the media, what they did to this world. Who do you think destroyed the world? The news media. It's the news media destroyed everything. It's those rats in the media. They destroyed the world. They destroyed everything. They destroyed all family values. They destroyed the educational system. They destroyed women. They destroyed men's sense of dignity. Everything in the world that has been destroyed by the American media. Do you understand that? So I'm doing a light take on this today. Don't really get me started.
Savage. I'm gonna fall in your way.
Maybe I should open a restaurant. Get one of the women from the Real Lives of Beverly Hills to design a restaurant for me in San Francisco. Yeah, that's just what I need at this phase of my life. Everyone I know in the business is like, are you crazy? I don't know any person who's ever been in the restaurant business who says open a restaurant. Everyone says don't be crazy. Why does everyone think they want to have a restaurant of their own? Tough business, murder. You're one meal away from disaster, and you have to suck up to people day and night and make them feel that you like them to even eat in there. Hey, how you doing?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I can't wait to see you. Amigo. Oh, yeah.
New York, Tom, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Mr. Savage?
Yes, sir.
That woman who told dude about her relationship, well, I started one over 20 years ago. I'm 82, and it's still going strong.
What, with a young woman?
She was 24, and I was 60. I didn't look my age. I looked 10, 12 years younger. But
yeah.
It's still going on.
Do you use Viagra?
I beg your pardon?
Do you use Viagra?
No. There's no such thing. Vitamin E 400.
And that's enough for you? Not calamari? Nothing? Not even clams?
That's correct. And
not even clams oreganata? Are you telling me vitamin E alone?
Vitamin E 400 is a different type of vitamin.
Oh, I know. The multi-mixed tocopherols. I wrote the book on it, but I never knew it had an effect on that part of the anatomy.
Well, it's antioxidant, so apparently they keep keeping me young.
Yeah, well, good luck to you. Do you like Viagra or Levitra? Which do you prefer?
I wouldn't try either one. I would stick to the vitamin E like I'm doing now.
Oh, I'm sorry. You said you don't use it.
No, I don't.
All right. All right. There's no fun in the call, then. I mean, if you called, I could have fun with it if you did, but since you can't. All right. Looks, different strokes for different folks. I mean, I don't understand it. Why a woman would want a man 40 years older than her, I don't get it. Money, yes, I could understand. Money, yes. Could see it for money. What? And they have like a daddy complex? But you have to like, it's a relationship issue. Then you have to like be there. You have to pay attention. What if you don't want to pay attention to somebody at all in any relationship? For me, it's hard enough to even talk to the dog lately. I don't even want to talk to Teddy anymore. Becoming very withdrawn. I don't know what's going on with me. The world is so horrible under Obama. It is so incredibly bad. The man has so wrecked the world that I know to be existent. They don't even like, I don't like want to talk to the dog anymore. I don't even find him cute anymore. So it's just like a dog now. It's like, okay, all right, I'll let you out. All right, here's your food. I'm not mad at you. I'm not going to get angry, but it's enough already. Sorry, the cute stuff doesn't work anymore. Come home, jump for joy. All right, it's nice. Okay, it's enough. Calm down. Stop jumping now. It's okay. What is that? That's not depression. It's reality. The guy's wrecked the economy. The national debt equals our GDP. And he's spending more money than anyone knows he is spending, and no one will stop the man. He's like King Ludwig II. And no one says to him, you're a lunatic, you're destroying our country, you're destroying the military, you're destroying the world, stop him. No one. Instead, the schmuck Republicans, you think they really care? Are you kidding me? They satisfy their constituents the way the com Dems satisfy theirs. That's why you're not hearing anything. So you threw 100 communists out in November and you thought, what would happen? What? You thought you'd have a change? Yeah, the same change you had when that Scott, whatever his name is, from Massachusetts took Kennedy's seat. I was the only one in the media who saw through him. So here we are. And where is this going to lead is the question. We're bankrupt already. Every country's saying, let's get off the dollar standard. It scares the heck out of me. Every country in the world wants to be off the dollar standard. What do they want to go on, the franc? We're going to go on the yen? What currency are they going to go on? The euro? What, with Greece and Ireland bankrupt, we're going to go on the euro? No. I'm going to go on the Chinese currency? Are you crazy? It's an invented fake currency to begin with. It's all propped up out of nowhere by the dictators of China. So that's why I'm focusing on Lady Gaga and the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. New York, Louisa, you're on the Savage Nation.
Good evening, Michael. I'm calling from off Union Turnpike, your old...
Union Turnpike. It still exists near St. John's University.
You got it. So I have three quick points. First, I got my mom your book for Christmas. She loves it. And I got it at the Barnes & Noble, which is on the corner now, pretty much.
Wait. Where is there a Barnes & Noble? On Union Turnpike? Where?
Okay, on Union Turnpike. You know, Utopia is where St. John's is.
And yes, I grew up there on that street.
Yeah, well, I'm in walking distance.
No, but so where's the Barnes & Noble, apropos of Union Turnpike and Utopia Parkway? Where's the Barnes & Noble?
Utopia, you have the Chase Bank, and then you have...
All right, so it's in the area, because people in Kansas can't follow this. What's the main point of your call?
It's like 2 hours down from Utopia.
I got it. So what's the main point? I got it. What's the main point of your call, though?
I'm sorry?
What's the main point of your phone call?
My main point was the reality shows that compare to junk food. And third of all, the main point, too, is I had Lady Gaga on a flight. I'm a flight attendant. And she was actually very lovely. She was very pleasant, very low maintenance. And I do enjoy her music. The lyric contact is...
Wait, did she fly coach or did she fly first?
Oh, no, she's first. And she has her entourage. But they're all very, very nice and lovely.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. That's the trip to show... That's a way of showing, it's like a certain reversal. Like years ago, the rock and rollers would be degenerate bums. They would like throw drinks and burn rugs. Now, to show you're classy, you go out of your way to be polite as a celebrity. You always say thank you and yes and may I. That's like a new form of the same kind of indulgence. I have to explain that in another way another time. So how many people are in her entourage?
She had about... six people up front, and then she had a couple in the back, too, like in business.
And what do they do? I mean, like, what does entourage do for people? They come over and, like, entertain her, like jesters? They come around and make her happy?
I guess, perhaps. But, no, I think she has her people that, you know, like, set up her appointments, do all her bookings or flights and meeting.
Well, Glenn Beck's like Lady Gaga of talk radio. He needs an entourage.
You need an entourage.
I don't need an entourage. What do I need? Then I have to talk to them. I don't want to talk to anybody. With an entourage, you have to actually entertain them. What if they come over and tell you a joke and you don't laugh, or they give you something and you don't want it? I mean, you have to relate to them. It requires energy to have an entourage. What is wrong with being? What is wrong with solitude? Has anyone ever thought about solitude as a power trip? It's the ultimate power trip to need nobody.
This is true. That's why you don't
right?
need an entourage.
I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, you're born alone and you die alone. So what do you need anybody for? You're gonna have to meet God at the end. You think an entourage is going to be there with you before God tells you? Let's say there really is a God, and let's say you really have to go before him. What, the entourage gets there first? And they tell God what a great guy you were to them? So what airline do you fly for? Are you allowed to tell me?
I'm sorry?
What airline?
American Airlines.
You know what I used to collect, Louisa? You want to hear something funny? Because I go back a little while. I used to fly when there was a Pan Am. Remember Pan Am?
I do.
Pan Am was the greatest airline that ever existed. The women had the most beautiful uniforms, those powder blue uniforms. I think that they sold the used ones to Icelandic Airways. Like when they got through with them, when they were stained, they sold them to Icelandic Airways. They had a way of taking spots out in Iceland with a special ice crystalline method. But their powder blue uniforms were so gorgeous. And they were different. They were a different class of, like, stewardess. They were like the real stewardesses of Pan Am were like really beautiful women at that time.
True.
But you know what I used to collect? I'm going to tell you something funny. You know what I used to buy on eBay? This is really weird. TWA, they don't exist anymore, do they?
No, American...
Right, okay, they bought it. But TWA used to have cups, coffee cups, in first class that were the best coffee cups ever made. They were small. They were made by a very fine China manufacturer. I bought like about 30 of them over time. I still enjoy my coffee in the morning in a TWA coffee cup. Would you believe it?
That's amazing.
No, it's because the size of the cup... The quality of the porcelain was fabulous, and the way the handle fits in your hand, in your finger, you can't match it. They're the best cup in the world for an espresso or a small coffee. I don't like drinking out of a mug. I can't explain, like, coffee out of a mug is so, like, Northern California circa 1980. Like a mug of coffee, like with the San Francisco newspaper. It's like on the same level. Anyway, what's it like being a flight attendant today? I mean, do you have the power to strap someone to their seat if they look at you the wrong way, like tape them up?
No, only if they really are misbehaving.
Who misbehaves today? Like if the movie stars and all of the rock and rollers are trying to be extra polite to show how classy they are, because that's like a reverse kind of snobism. As I said to you, 20 years ago, it was like, you know, bossing people around saying drop dead. Now they go out of their way and say, yeah, thank you very much for everything, like even a glass of water to show they're very classy, which is better in a way. So who are the people who act up on planes today?
Honestly, most of my passengers have been always really good because I tend to...
Sure, they're terrified of the TSA. Of course they're very good. They know if they ask you for a second glass of water, you'll have them arrested when they land at LaGuardia.
No, I'm very pleasant. I'm nice. But
The absolute worst flight attendants in the entire world are the snotty men out of San Francisco. The meanest, snottiest men on earth. are the ones who fly for American out of San Francisco. You ask them for anything, they might have you arrested. And they're the ones who take your food and sit in the back and chat with each other and eat before you do. That's horrible.
That doesn't happen on my flights. Our flights are very, we have nice flight attendants in our flights.
I would like to fly on your plane for sure. Definitely. Hey, that's very nice. It was a very fun phone call. I really appreciate it. Thank you very much. I don't need an entourage. Believe me, I'm not like into that. He flies around an entourage because he's insecure. Blackboard, he needs it. He needs it. Oh, how brilliant. Say Saul Alinsky a few more times. Say Marx, say Lenin, say Engels. Ooh, wow, More chalk, sir? Master, do you need another box of chalk? Here, master, is another box of chalk. Eraser, sir. Would you need another eraser, sir? Here's the eraser, sir. I'll be right back.
Savage.
How about the Real Housewives of Baghdad, for a change? There's some nice-looking ladies over there. Take off the burqas, see what's underneath them. Or we could do one, the Real Housewives of Ankara. I could host that one. So when was you first saw the sun? When did the sun first hit your skin? How did it feel after 29 years? How about the Real Housewives of Sichuan Province? Or the Real Housewives of Smolensk? That'd be a hot show. Even the Real Housewives of Fairbanks, Alaska would be a nightmare. That could be hosted by Sarah Palin after she runs for the presidency. The Real Housewives of Fairbanks. I mean, I like Sarah Palin. Don't get me wrong. She's smarter than most of the men in the Republican Party. At this point, I'll take her over most of the others. No kidding. Wasn't hot on her for a while. I mean, in terms of running, but God, look what they've done to the... You knew they would do this, the K Street people. You knew it. You knew the minute they got back in power, they'd screw you again. Houston, Texas, Ron, you're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, at 54 years old, I married a 20-year-old French girl. And
okay,
it was
you're just saying that to make guys jealous. How could you meet a 20-year-old French girl?
Oh, it was easy. I met her in France at the Paris Air Show. I'm a pilot. And, in fact, I've called you before about my son.
Oh, yeah, we had this conversation. You still married?
Oh, no, it kind of blew up.
Oh, that's right. That's right. You married her, and she was a gold digger, if I remember right.
Well, a little bit, yeah, because her mother kind of encouraged her, you know, take the businessman's money and rip him off, and then you could divorce him later on.
Well, it's like saying French woman gold digger. I mean, you know, that's not too far a leap, is it?
Yeah, they were from central France. They were farmers, and, you know, they thought I was...
Oh, so they saw you as a mark. That's heartbreaking.
Oh, yeah. But you know what? She was a pretty damn good wife for about 7-8 years. And then what happened when she went to work for Continental Airlines out of Houston here, she started to meet some people which turned her head. And what really broke up the marriage was the fact that she was unfaithful. As they say, layovers don't count. Ha, ha, ha. And once that started to happen, naturally, it ended the marriage. And we were in
what can you do? I mean, she was 20 years old. You were 54. She wanted a little more, you know. How about the Real Housewives of Kabul? Why don't you look for a new wife in Kabul? That might be a hot place to look for a wife at the next air show.
The funny part of it was that she called me up from... She was doing back-to-backs between Paris and Newark.
Sir, this is a family show. No back-to-back, please. Family show here.
No, it's flights. Flights, you know, I mean back...
Oh.
And she called me up from Newark. It was 8 o'clock in our time, Paris time, and it was like 2 o'clock in the morning.
How was it in the beginning? Let me ask you this. In the beginning, 54, pilot, meets the 20-year-old, gets married. You had the time of your life, right, in the beginning? You thought you were in heaven?
Oh, yeah, and a lot of pilots do that, okay? And they really get sucked into a situation.
But I'm saying those first, how long, 90 days where you're in heaven?
Oh, 3 times a day, that's pretty good.
No, I don't. See, I'm not asking the right question. How long were you walking on air? 90 days?
Oh, I would say for 7 years.
7 years you were in heaven? Every minute you pinched yourself and said, I can't believe how lucky I am?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Shoot. What a chef this girl was. She'd bring back...
Oh, please stop already. Now, not only that, but she can cook as well?
Yes. Oh, cook and clean. She was mildly.
Right, now torture everybody for Valentine's Day who's lonely. Now tell me what she looked like. Tell everyone out there.
Well, in 1990, before she started to work for American Airlines, I took her to Hollywood to show her to a friend of mine.
Yeah.
And the gentleman, his last name is Sapanakis, he said, we'd like to do Elizabeth Taylor look-alike.
1990 would be 8BV, 8 before Viagra, the
yeah.
year 8BV. Did you have to use a male enhancement product with her at any time?
No, I was pretty good.
All right, well.
I'm not bragging.
But when, okay, now let's get serious. After it's all over, you're heartbroken?
At first, yes, but I look back upon it as fond memories. And my son, you see, he broke away because she was so difficult to deal with as a mother.
How about the Real Housewives of Riyadh? Would you like to try one of them? Go over to Saudi Arabia and look for a nice wife?
No, I've gone totally celibate now. I've learned.
Oh, celibate. That's a whole show unto itself.
Yeah, but see,
well, when you say celibate, are you kind of, you know, there's various kinds of vegetarians. There's like vegetarian, then there's lacto-ovo-vegetarian. See, there's a variety of celibate. Are you celibate, but you give yourself pleasure or not?
Pardon me?
No, I shouldn't get in. No, because people say they're vegetarian, right? But then there are people who are vegetarian, but they're lacto-ovo-vegetarian. They use dairy products and eggs. Then they were like pure, like they're kosher vegetarian. They're like fanatics, nothing with an animal product in it. They're emaciated. They get sick. They're depressed. They have no energy, no vitamins, no iron, nothing in their body. They're dying from a lack of nutrients, but they're vegetarians, so they think they're purer than everybody. But what I'm saying is that since you say you're celibate, I'm asking you, when you say celibate, what does that mean? Total?
Well, I just don't mess around with women. I adore them. I love them. I compliment them.
I'm not asking that, but do you have any way of relieving whatever?
Oh, well, you know, the normal bodily functions which occur, you know, in nature, but otherwise, forget it.
Well, now it's getting a little too biological. All right, thanks for the call. Now it's getting already into the area. I don't even want to go there. So, here we have been talking about The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, which has to be an example of the worst show in the history of mankind, which debases women, makes men feel like they should either take the cloth or live with another man. There is no way that a girl watching a show like that could turn out sane. Any young girl who watches The Real Housewives of X has to wind up nuts on medication. How about The Real Housewives of Kathmandu? What's the capital of Tibet, Beowulf? Is there a capital in Tibet? Maybe they named it for Richard Gere now, like the Gereville, the real Housewives of Gereville. I don't know. It's just crazy. Look, the main point of the first 2 hours of the show is that now that the twin hysterics of the media have left Egypt, they're not even showing you that martial law has been declared and that the military is in charge and there's a worse dictatorship than there was when he was there till they threw him out, Mubarak. He had nice hair for an 82-year-old, by the way. I got to hand it to him. I was wondered by that. They use a dye over there, a special kind of Egyptian dye. You know what it is. It's like Reagan. It was all black, like, till the end. No, I'm not debasing him. Like, a lot of people don't want that gray thing. Remember how nice he had nice gray black? I don't go for the toupee in guys. Wow, the whole rug thing is over, isn't it? With the hair growth formula, no one uses the rugs anymore. It's like the bionic man. Anyway, so Egypt, they'd had to end by Friday. Mubarak was given till Friday night to get out so that the CNN reporter could get back in time to cover the Grammys Sunday night. That was an absolute drop-dead deadline. They gave him an extra 12 hours. That's why the CIA had it off. He heard from Hollywood when Mubarak was leaving, the head of the CIA, was told by Schwarzenegger, Matzenegger, Hitzenegger, Matzenberger, and Katzenberg when the riots would be over.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Listen up. It's Blue Monday on the Savage Nation. Let's start with this. Where did the coverage go? Now that the hysterics of Anderson Cooper and Shepard Smith, the twin hysterical men of the media, have moved off the story, what has happened to the media's coverage of all the riots in Egypt? Why, there's martial law brought about by the twin hysterics under the command of Obama, the master radical. And now that there's martial law in Egypt and the army is kicking the rioters out of Tahrir Square, there's nothing about it on the cable networks. Now that ACDC 360 has taken a first-class flight back to L.A., the government media complex has forgotten about the Twitterers and dungarees. Martial law may be imposed, but the media has moved on. The hysterics are no longer there. Do you think the cameras will be there when the Muslim Brotherhood begins to burn churches? Kind of doubt it, don't you? And here's what's on MichaelSavage.com today. Intelligence breakdown. That's from the New York Post. That's the two geniuses, Leon Panetta and the other genius. It's unbelievable to me. I don't know how these people have their jobs. Well, then again, we know who the boss is. One dead as police fire tear gas at protesters in Tehran. No reports from the twin hysterics. That's Iran, by the way. London Daily Mail has an hysterical story saying that it's been found. Wave of Islamic uprising spreads now in Yemen. A terrorist who trained the 7-7 bomber has been released after 5 years. That's an American, by the way. A UK mosque has been caught teaching children to hate through an undercover camera. Obama has broken the budget again, spending out of control, adding to the national debt for years to come. Do you expect anything else from a street organizer from Chicago who was a student of Saul Alinsky, communist and agitator? 1-800-449-8255. Egyptian military to retain treaty with Israel, quote, for now. Somali pirates hold 700 hostages and the shippers are asking the Royal Navy for help. The Royal Navy. They're busy having their jeans refit. Playboy Mansion guests plagued by an outbreak. An outbreak of what? Morality? I doubt it. Couple gifts same Valentine to one another for 70 years. Oh, well, we'll let that one go. And here's one that your local media won't report. The Islamic government in Malaysia is warning the people in Malaysia not to celebrate Valentine's Day. Apparently, Valentine's Day threatens the dirty little men with filthy beards. And what else is on MichaelSavage.com? Subway slashers victim share story of fighting back. What a story. I mean, I can't even tell you this story about the lunatic on the subways in New York. Now, we can't blame Bloomberg for the outbreak of violence in New York. But we do know that Bloomberg has caused an outbreak of hate around the world by insulting the Irish last week. In fact, it's gone all the way to Ireland and back now because he talked about Irish drunks thinking it was funny. Okay. I wonder what would happen if someone mentioned something about New York bankers. That's it on MichaelSavage.com. This is Dr. Dissident Michael Savage back in a moment.
Savage.
The term Muslim Brotherhood is an umbrella term for a variety of movements. In the case of Egypt, a very heterogeneous group, largely secular, which has eschewed violence and has decried Al-Qaeda as a perversion of Islam.
Hmm.
They have pursued social ends, betterment of the political order in Egypt. In other countries, there are also chapters or franchises of the Muslim Brotherhood. But there is no overarching agenda and particularly in pursuit of violence, at least internationally.
The American intelligence community has no intelligence. They got everything wrong from the top to the bottom. We see that Obama the meddler, the Obama the destroyer, has, frankly, for the sake of humanity, not had his way with the Middle East, thank God. I know you're going to say, well, are you on the side of dictators? I am not going to let you put me in that position. Just because the entire media complex is now on the side of overthrowing Mubarak without looking at the ramifications of such an act doesn't mean I have to join them. I read Kipling when I was very young. If you can keep your head when all those around you are losing theirs and blaming it on you, then you'll be a man, my son. I'm not going to lose my head. Now, if Obama did not understand this, he is not fit to be president. If he is simply doing the bidding of George Soros, as I suspect he is doing, and as I pointed out in a 13-page essay, which you can still find on my website, michaelsavage.com, for reasons that I'm afraid I too well understand, then it's even worse than I think. And so I throw the question to you again. Do you think that Obama's bungling and setting the Middle East on fire is a result of his idealism and his inexperience, or a direct result of his desire to bring about a new world order where there is a Muslim caliphate around the world? I know many of you actually have this incredibly dark vision of the president. I'm not so sure that it's that. I think that the man is simply inexperienced, idealistic. I'm not certain that I would go as far as those of you do who say he's a sleeper, although it starts to become one and the same at a certain point. At a certain point, it doesn't matter what his orientation is with regard to radical Islam. The end result may be the same. So I'm going to take your calls. Valerie in Portland, Oregon, what's your opinion?
Well, I don't know. I just feel like we're putting two and two together, and we're not exactly sure what the answer is. But the thing is that when you have this director of intelligence completely ignorant, it's like you said before, is he lying or is he ignorant? But if he's lying, then that begs the other question. And that's what's
scary.
The
head of the National Intelligence, James Clapper, who just last December was on television when he was stumped when asked about a major set of terrorists that day in Great Britain, didn't even know about it. The same man keeps his job under Obama the Destroyer, and this jerk says that the Muslim Brotherhood is now a social group for the betterment of the political order. It has no religious underpinnings. The term Muslim Brotherhood is an umbrella term, is to shoot violence, and his own agency has to override him and say he didn't really mean that. Then we're really in trouble.
Michael, what is his motivation for saying that? Because you and I both know we can do a little bit of cursory, you know, research on the internet, and we know it. That's completely false.
You mean why would the director of National Intelligence, James Clapper, go out of his way to whitewash the Muslim Brotherhood and their threat within Egypt and the world? Why would he do that?
Why?
I think the next question is why would Obama have appointed him, and why would the Senate have ratified him? Who is he? Well, he has a distinguished career in the U.S. Air Force. I looked it up. But that doesn't mean anything unto itself, not in the world we're living in.
Exactly. And it's happening on all levels and all these different Obama.
When we see that under George Bush, the SEC, the watchdog agency for the Wall Street crooks and wolves, allowed the wolves to eat the sheep, and none of the leaders of the Wall Street meltdown have yet been indicted or gone to jail. Why should we assume that there's any difference in any agency in any federal government, any agency of the federal government?
I think we should assume that at all. And then
okay,
you
okay, well, there we are. I apologize in advance if this is not civil enough for all of you. But at a certain point, I think we have to awaken from our slumber. And I'm asking you what you think. Let's go to Haley in Merced, California on the Savage Nation. Your opinion, please. Go ahead.
Dr. Savage. When the Obama administration first came into office, I remember you called him Neville Chamberlain, an appeaser, but I really think at this point he's more like a Leninist. He's more of a communist, essentially. He believes in Sharia law. He stands on a dangerous political ideal rather than...
You actually believe President Obama would like to see Sharia law in the United States of America? What gives you that impression?
I think from his past history, I mean, first of all, we don't know anything about his college papers, his time at the Harvard Law Review. And during that time, he went on a trip to Pakistan under an Indonesian passport. He was trained at Muslim schools in Indonesia. And, I mean, let's be realistic here. Muslim schools are very different than our, say, Catholic schools here in the U.S. It's all about indoctrination. It's all about making these children into jihadists, essentially. And I know there's a lot of people in the world that are going to debate with me on this and call me ignorant, stupid, you know, hate-filled, whatever they may call me. He believes in ideals that are dangerous, that are going to hurt the United States, and I think we can see
so
that.
So let's take it down to the pragmatics of the day. Obama wanted Mubarak out for what reason, in your opinion? You're taking the darker view, that he wanted the Muslim Brotherhood to take over? He wanted to see an Islamic State in Egypt?
We could say that he's maybe being pulled by two forces. There's maybe the Muslim Brotherhood. He wants to somehow work with Muslims and help them. And there's the other side, his more leftist American side, which is saying, you know, well, we should promote democracy. We should promote democracy. And then you have, well, we should support the Muslims. And so he never wants to support Mubarak. It's either allow the Muslim Brotherhood to
All right,
come
so
in.
Let's assume you're correct. He's the most powerful man in the world.
I don't think he really wanted to. I don't think the...
You just said that he wanted Mubarak out. So what get a stop Mubarak fall? Who stopped him?
I think his intelligence officers, having maybe a little more seditious ideals than he does, I think maybe they're wanting that to happen. And Barack Obama, being the utopian idealist that he is going to go with the idea that seems most peaceful, most leftist. I totally agree with you, Dr. Savage. That's brilliant geopolitical analysis. And I have to say that I totally agree with you, because I think that Barack Obama and the people around him are not as skilled in geopolitics as we'd like to think.
I don't think so either. I think that they're rather naive college types who see the world through rose-colored glasses at best. At best, they're the utopian idealists that universities are filled with. Absolutely dangerous old hippies. 1-800-449-8255. One quick call at this junction. You can call us with your opinion of what's going on in Egypt on the Savage Nation. Portland, Oregon. Richard, you're next up. Go ahead, please.
You know, I agree with you. I think he's truly naive. I think you're attributing a lot more to his thinking than he's even attributing to his thinking.
Well, that's what I said. Which side are you on? Do you think that it's the nefarious 11th Imam, or who is he? I don't believe he's the 11th Imam. I think he's just simply a utopian idealist communist who's over his head and doesn't even know what's going on in the world.
He really does. I think.
But on the other, but Richard, it seems to me that he continues to capitulate towards Muslim dictators around. Remember during his tour of Egypt, how he met with the Muslim Brotherhood? Do you remember this? I mean, how he constantly bows to foreign dictators like China?
Popularity contest. And don't you think he's trying to appear to be the above it all?
Well, I don't know what he's trying to do. All I know is that America is suffering as a result of his incompetence. And it doesn't matter whether his incompetence is driven by his ideology or his lack of knowledge. It got worse than this. The head of the Defense National Intelligence Agency, Defense National Intelligence, James Clapper, went in front of the same committee hearing run by Dianne Feinstein, herself a paragon of intelligence. If you want to know where shopping carts will be placed next, in which airport they will appear, all you got to do is ask Dianne Feinstein. He goes before her hearing and listen to what he says.
The term Muslim Brotherhood is an umbrella term for a variety of movements. In the case of Egypt, a very heterogeneous group, largely secular, which has eschewed violence and has decried al-Qaeda as a perversion of Islam.
This is the head of the National Intelligence for the United States of America. CIA chief got it wrong. Director of National Intelligence says the Muslim Brotherhood is secular and has given up violence. His own agency jumps over his statements and says we have to clarify what Director Clapper said. In any democracy, both the head of the CIA and director of national intelligence would be forced to resign tomorrow. But we're not living in a democracy. We're living in a putative democracy. We're living in a semblance of a democracy. Where do we have the audacity to tell other nations how to run their affairs when we have people at the top who can't run their affairs correctly? I rest my case. Is this incompetence or is it nefarious? That's what I'd like to know. Do you believe Obama is incompetent or is there a nefarious force at play here? Peter in New York on WOR, your opinion, please.
Michael, I don't think he is a nefarious. I think he's a scary buffoon, meaning that he has such an ego and he's so not intelligent that it's a terrible combination.
Well, you mean in Obama now? He's so filled with his own hubris and he lacks real knowledge of what's going on in the world, it's not more nefarious in your opinion.
Correct. I mean, anytime he has not been in front of a teleprompter, he has just said, you know, ridiculous things, you know.
So there it is. All right. Well, you're not, in my opinion, I wrote an essay on it. I hope you read it on michaelsavage.com. I'm going to send you a free copy of Trickle Up Poverty, my friend, because the MFA is all this is described in detail in this seminal book from 2010.
Savage.
They have pursued social ends, betterment of the political order in Egypt. In other countries, there are also chapters or franchises of the Muslim Brotherhood. But there is no overarching agenda, and particularly in pursuit of violence, at least internationally.
We have talked about this administration's failure to recognize the Muslim Brotherhood's role in Egypt and even their role in the rest of the world. We just listened to the Director of National Intelligence, James Clapper, talking about how the Brotherhood has a nonviolent agenda, which is outrageous. Because joining us now is Dr. Zudi Jasser, who says the Director does not understand the Brotherhood. Now remember, Dr. Jasser is a Muslim. Dr. Jasser, welcome back to the Savage Nation. What are they missing here?
Well, you know, I think that the events in Egypt have really unroofed the discussion nationally about the importance of us understanding the Muslim Brotherhood. Many of us, you know, our organization, the American Islamic Forum for Democracy, was founded on the fact that terrorism is simply a tactic and that ultimately the only way to do counterterrorism and counter-radicalization is to reform the aspects of Islam that connect the Islamic State, that believe in establishing Sharia law. So we believe in the separation of mosque and state, and that ultimately would completely dissolve the ideologies that feed groups like the Muslim Brotherhood and the ideology of political Islam. And that's the only treatment for global terrorism is to take away that ideology. Well, in Egypt, we see now, as we see this popular revolt that has happened, the Brotherhood is positioned to try to take over.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they're in a position to do that. If they could have had revolt, they would have done it a while back, and they haven't. But we need to continue to be concerned about them because almost every radical Islamist group in the world has come out of their ideology, whether it's Hamas or Al-Qaeda or Jamaat Islamiyah or any of them. And they have a spectrum of belief from the most violent to the most nonviolent. But yet all of them believe in the same goal, which is the Islamic State and Islamic law. And to hear our Director of National Intelligence basically tell Homeland Security Intelligence Committee that, well, they're a secular organization, and then later the White House tried to back that backtrack a little bit and say that he meant that Egypt was secular. All I can tell you, at the minimum, he articulated things that show there's a significant amount of naivete about the main threat and the ideology that we're fighting. And you know, I was horrified. For those of us that are working to reform Islam from within on these things, to hear our DNI say that just makes me very concerned that either we're completely naive or we're actually facilitating an ideology within that will be our a increase in the security threat to this country.
How have they become so naive? Are they playing along with the Muslim Brotherhood?
Well, I think it's a couple things. First of all, some of the advisors I believe that they have in the White House or around their circle of influence include those on the left that don't want to believe that this country is in an ideological war, or they've had some bedfellows in some of their nanny state programs and others that feed into some of the Islamist movements. So they use them also for security issues, and they find that they become sort of useful idiots, if you will, and that may be part of it. The other part may be simply ignorance, in that they've done no reading on Islam or political Islam and the reform that needs to happen. They really don't understand that, you know, you don't have to be anti-Islam to be anti-political Islam. So a combination of political correctness with an ignorance about the pre-modern nature of some of Islamic thought puts them at a significant liability in doing good counterterrorism work and intelligence.
What kind of resistance are you receiving from the American left?
We do. I mean, I can't tell you. That's one of the biggest, I think, impediments to the progress for reform within them. You know, people say, where's the moderate voice of Muslims? And those of us that speak out are basically bombarded not only from within the Islamist movements that have much better funding and have been doing this in the West for 30 to 50 years through all their different groups like the Council on American Islamic Relations and the Muslim Student Association and all these other Islamist groups, but the left has perpetuated in using this issue as a way to get to the right. And it's more focused on partisan politics rather than actually dealing with an ideology that all Americans should be focused against, which is an anti-theocracy movement. You know, if we're going to fight political Islam, it's really part of our founding fathers' documents and beliefs is that they founded this country fighting theocracy. And Islamists are all about theocracy, the desire to put into place Islamic law and create Islamic states. I mean, the left doesn't want that. If they look at the way women are treated under Islamic law, under the way gays are treated and others, they would open their eyes and realize that this should be blind to left or right politics in America, but they don't want to do that. They'd rather use Muslim minority issues, victimology issues, as a way to one up the right rather than get to the issues. And I think this is one of the biggest obstacles, and I think threatens national security, because then we empower Islamist groups to become not only more represented and guide national security issues in domestically, but we also end up embracing them in Egypt and elsewhere that will actually hurt global stability.
What can we, the people, do?
Yeah, you know, the issue is I think it's very easy for, you know, I hope your listeners and others will start to just ask questions and start to look up political Islam, look up the Brotherhood. There's a lot of wonderful dossiers from various groups and organizations that have looked at what they stand for, what their mission is. If you look in Arabic, their emblem has a cross sword that says under be prepared. In English, they talk about freedom and other things. So there's a lot of deception there. So look at groups like ours, the American Islamic Forum for Democracy, and go to our website at aifdemocracy.org. We're forming a coalition of Muslim groups called the American Islamic Leadership Coalition that is trying to provide an alternative to government, media, and other activists so that they don't always have to go to the same old brotherhood mentality groups when looking for Muslim groups. And I would say the litmus test is Muslims, I think, are moderate, that look for reform, that are working to stop the ascendancy of theocracy in the Islamic State, but actually working for separation of mosque and state, and a country like ours based in an establishment clause.
Is it getting easier or more difficult for you to get your message out?
You know, that's a great question as to whether things are getting easier or harder. I think since Egypt has you know, declared a time for change, things have gotten a little easier in that, you know, the West is paying attention to these issues in Muslim-majority countries where the Brotherhood is looked upon as a true political party, and the victimology mindset of Muslims in Muslim groups in this country doesn't carry water. So when they look over there, they realize they're starting to get an education that, you know, maybe we need to understand what's going on within the House of Islam better, rather than simply take it for granted that Muslims, all the Muslims in this country, have assimilated Western legal systems. And I think at the end of the day, as we look to develop a strategy, I mean, I think awareness is increasing, but getting focused and getting strategy and getting Americans to get the political will to do like we did in the Cold War and create a strategy against communism, getting Americans to develop the political will to invest in secular movements in Egypt, secular Muslims in America that are looking for reform and globally, has been difficult.
Hmm.
We still don't have a strategy. We're still willfully blind, as Andrew McCarthy and others have said. So, you know, I think there's a lot of work to do, but we are making some slow progress. I think one of the main issues when we talk about Egypt and the Brotherhood is we have to be careful that when we look at our conservative principles and the freedom agenda, that ultimately Iraq has proven that changes in transforming the Middle East is not an easy process. But we can't forget that the Muslim Brotherhood has and is the only group with an infrastructure in Egypt for a reason, because Mubarak and other secular fascists have allowed them to have an infrastructure. So if we want to facilitate a transformation of the Middle East towards secular liberal Democrats that believe in a republic, a constitutional republic with minority rights, and not an oppression of the minority by majorities, there has to be a transformational process, and that can only happen through a freedom agenda. And we can't, as conservatives, say that, well, the devil we know is better, because not only does that affect our credibility in the Middle East, I think, you know, I supported the Iraq War and the Bush freedom agenda because it believed in the principles our country was founded on, and I think every human being in the world wants that same freedom. Now, we may take some steps backwards before we go forward, and we have to do whatever we can to prevent Egypt from going the direction Iran did. But right now, it doesn't look like it's headed there, but we need to continue to invest in and in being paying attention to what's happening there so that it doesn't go in that direction.
Dr. Jasser, thanks again for being on the Savage Nation.
I appreciate it, Michael. It's nice to be with you. Thank you.
This is the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Last night, I did some soul searching. I said, why has God chosen to put me in this position that an entire nation would attack me so unfairly? I didn't have an answer. And so I looked, I went back to the Holy Scriptures, my well-marked blue Bible, the Old Testament, and I read Leviticus. I said, you know, it's a funny thing I do with the Bible. I mean, I'm no biblical expert. I flipped through it. And sometimes when I get in trouble, I flip to a page and see, does that work? Well, it worked last night. Let me tell you what this was. Now, many of us, we're only three generations away from a super religious personality. I don't care how atheistic you may be or how wildly disconnected you may be from the church. You're only two to three generations away from an extremely religious person who built your family. You didn't build your family. You inherited your family. The person who built it was made of much stronger stuff, I can guarantee you. And they went through much harder times than any of us are going through. And so they needed the Bible to get through hard times. They needed to believe in God and believe in you know, the right way and the wrong way, good and evil. And I flipped to Leviticus 26, and I'm going to summarize it. I can't read you every word because I said, oh, my God, it really scared me. And it was about this. It said, you shall make no idols, neither shall you rear you up a graven image or a pillar, neither shall you place any figured stone in your land to bow down unto it, for I am the Lord your God. You shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. So it was about the Sabbath and bowing down to graven images. And then God says, if you walk in my statutes and you keep my commandments, I will give you rains in their season, and the land shall yield up produce in the trees. You shall eat your bread. I will give you peace. You shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. I will cause evil beasts to seize out of the land, and so forth and so on. And you're going to lead a great life. And he says to them, that's if you do the right thing. But in 14, it gets really bad. See, the Old Testament was fire and brimstone. It was, this is it, or is only one way. It was God's way or the highway. Let's put it to you that way. So he really wanted you to keep the Sabbath, and he didn't want you to bow down to false idols. I'll let you figure out what a false idol is. I'll let you figure out what a graven image is. I'll let you figure out what the graven images of today are. But he says, if you will not hearken unto me and will not do all these commandments, and if you shall reject my statutes, and if your soul abhor mine ordinances so that you will not do all my commandments, but break my covenant, this is what's coming. I also will do this unto you. I will appoint terror over you. Notice the word terror, terrorists. I will appoint terror over you, even consumption and fever, that shall make the eyes to fail and the soul to languish, and you shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemy shall eat it. And I will set my face against you, and you shall be smitten before your enemies. They that hate you shall rule over you, and you shall flee when none pursueth you, meaning you're going to be frightened of everything. And if you will not yet for these things hearken unto me, it gets worse then. He says, if you still don't do what I want you to do, then I will chastise you seven times more for your sins, and I will break the pride of your power, and I will make your heaven as iron, and your earth as brass, and your strength shall be spent in vain, for your land shall not yield her produce, neither shall the trees of the land yield their fruit. And then he gets even more demanding. And he says, and if you walk contrary unto me and will not hearken unto me, I will bring seven times more plagues upon you according to your sins. And I will send the beast of the field among you, which shall rob you of your children and destroy your cattle and make you few in number. And your ways shall become desolate. Now, let me pause right there. Look at America today. America has a negative birth rate amongst the white Caucasian. So for last I checked, it's a birth rate that's below the reproduction rate, below the rate necessary to reproduce itself. Well, just take that in your thinking. Now, he goes on, and I'm going to finish up here. God says, but in spite of these things, and if in spite of these things you still are not corrected unto me, but will walk contrary to me, then will I also walk contrary unto you. And I will smite you, even I seven times for your sins. And I'll bring a sword upon you that shall execute the vengeance of the covenant, and you shall be gathered together within your cities, and I will send the pestilence among you, and you shall be delivered into the hand of the enemy. When I break your staff of bread, 10 women shall bake your bread in one oven, and they shall deliver your bread again by weight, and you shall eat and not be satisfied. I don't know exactly what that means about the 10 women. A biblical scholar, they probably have argued over this for thousands of years. But the last word is, you shall eat and not be satisfied. Sounds much like Western civilization, doesn't it? Rich tables, laden with rich foods, people eating and not satisfied. That is why they go to one fancy restaurant after another for the next execution of a new meal. Something new. They sprinkle a little from here and there, put it on a meal, and they still don't like it. Why? I'll let you figure it out. And then he goes on, and it gets even worse, and I'm not going to read the rest of it because it gets worse and worse and worse. He just doesn't let you go. I mean, it doesn't get better. And you shall perish among the nations, and the land of your enemy shall eat you up. That's pretty frightening stuff. I mean, is it just allegory? Who knows? The random musings of olive growers who were deficient in vitamin B3. It's hard to say. I suppose that if Leviticus were alive today, Nigel Sheinwald, the British ambassador to the U.S., would ban him from Britain. Because I would think that Leviticus would be likely to inflame and cause hatred and possibly, I don't know what else. Who knows? Certainly was meant to inflame Leviticus, wasn't it? Certainly was full of hate, wasn't it, Nigel? Have you gotten yet to burning the Bibles in England? Gotten around to that yet? The people behind you might be up to that soon, a little book burning. They had it in your neighboring Saxon nation in the 30s. There's no reason you Anglos shouldn't burn your Bibles. Your Saxon friends did it in the 30s. Any book that violated the government was burned. Nigel, suppose you learned that at Balliol. These are the statutes and ordinances and laws which the Lord made between him and the children of Israel in Mount Sinai by the hand of Moses. Now, I got to repeat to you, I read this because I was trying to find some salvation somewhere. You say, well, wow, man, you're a weird guy. You found salvation in that? I can't say I did. But I found some truths in it. I mean, you know, you take it on a minor scale, there's some truths in that. Meaning we're all fallen angels. I've said that to you. None of us are up to the standards of the Bible. Nobody can be. You never can hit that golden, you know, you can't be a saint. You can only be a man. You try your best. You want to do the Big Ten every day, that's a big deal. Try to make the Big Ten every day, you're a good person. I don't know how many of us can make up to the Big Ten, but at least it keeps you know where the green light is, the red light, the yellow light. Keeps you on track, doesn't it? Well, I guess all this did for me was say, you know what, Mike? Maybe you ought to really get back to a little God talk on your show and a little God talk in your head. Because you've been a little off key here lately. You know? And that's it. That's all I saw last night. God only knows what my fingers will flip to tonight in the Bible. Well, here's one from Isaiah, actually one of my favorite ones. This is specifically for the Brits. The show of their countenance doth witness against them, and they declare their sin is Sodom. They hide it not. Woe unto their soul, for they have wrought evil unto themselves. Say ye of the righteous that it shall be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. Woe unto the wicked, it shall be ill with him, for the work of his hands shall be done to him. As for my people, a babe is their master, and women rule over them. Oh, Sir Nigel, that is written for you.
Savage.